Hi, I'm Rick Warren, and Merry Christmas! Christmas is going to be here very soon, and Jesus said in Luke 14:23, go out into the highways and the countryside and urge everybody you find to come in so that my house will be full. Who are you thinking of to bring to your church? Whoever it is, I want to challenge you to be a light at Christmas and invite them to services at your church.
Merry Christmas Eve, everyone. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. And on this holy night, we're going to celebrate the hope that entered the world through Jesus Christ. So whether you're with family, alone, or somewhere in between, we're so glad you've joined us for this special moment. So let's join Rick with a very special message called Enjoying a Fear Not Christmas.
Everybody has secret fears. I do, you do. It may be the fear that if everybody knew the real me, they wouldn't like me. That's a legitimate fear a lot of people have. Then there's the fear of insignificance, that my life really won't matter. There's the fear of dying alone. There's the fear that my secret will be found out. There's the fear that I'll never, ever really be loved or find true love again. It is a significant fact that at the first Christmas, four times the phrase, do not be afraid, is used. The angels had to say it to Mary, had to say it to Joseph, had to say it to the shepherds, had to say it to a priest named Zechariah. Four times in the Christmas story, God says, don't be afraid. Now, today we know the news of the birth of Jesus Christ as good news because we know what's going to happen. But it wasn't good news to the people who heard it the first time. In fact, it scared everybody to death. Maybe you don't realize this, but in the first story, everybody was afraid. Mary was afraid, Joseph was afraid, Herod's afraid, shepherds are afraid, Zechariah's, in fact, the Bible tells us the entire city of Jerusalem panicked when the news that the Messiah had been born. Every one of the main characters had to deal with a different kind of fear. And what was interesting as I reread the Christmas story this week, I was struck by the fact that you and I still deal with the same fears today. 2,000 years later, you have the exact same five fears that they dealt with in the very first Christmas. And in many ways, it was a tough year. Everybody agree with that? I mean, you look at the headlines last year, it seemed like every week there's a terrorism attack around the world. There's mass shootings in schools and other places. There's racial tension. There's injustice. There's violence in the street. There's civil wars in the Middle East. And then the biggest refugee crisis in our lifetime. Right now, millions and millions and millions of people will not be home for Christmas because they'll be in refugee camps. And so for millions of people, this Christmas is not a merry Christmas. It's a scary Christmas. And what we're looking at for millions of people this Christmas holiday season is not a season of cheerfulness, but a season of fearfulness. But the message of Christmas is this: don't be afraid. God says it four times. I don't want you to be fear. It is not God's will that you walk around being afraid of anything. It's just not. And so today, I want us to look at the Christmas story and how to defeat the fears that hold you back, that keep you from being all God wants you to be. What I want to do is pretty simple. I want to quickly go through the five common fears that they dealt with at the very first Christmas. And then I want to ask you, how does that apply to you? And then I want to show you the antidote to living with fear. I'm going to show you the secret of being fear-free based on what God told them to do at the very first Christmas. Now, first, let's identify the fears that they had at the first Christmas. Let's start with Mary. You might write this down if you're taking notes. Mary had to deal with the fear of inadequacy. The fear of inadequacy. Now, you know the story. One day, an angel appears to this young peasant girl, an Israeli, no education, poor. And the angel says to Mary, God is going to keep his promise. He's been promising to come to earth for thousands of years. The Messiah, the chosen one, the Son of God is coming. He's going to come as a baby. And by the way, you get to be the mother. that would create a fear of inadequacy in anybody's life. There are at least a dozen reasons why she should fear inadequate. She's a teenager. In those days, people married as early as 12 years of age. She was probably at the most 15 or 16 years of age. She's a teenager. Second, she's unmarried. She's a virgin. She's never had relationships with a man, so she doesn't know anything about this. Number three, she's engaged to a guy named Joseph. How's she going to explain this one to her fiance? Fourth, she is told that the child is going to be the promised son of God. That put the fear of God in anybody. Okay, you're going to raise a perfect child. Then fifth, how do you explain this to your mom and your friends? Now, if you were a mother and your teenage daughter comes to you and says, "Mom, I've never had sex, but I'm pregnant, and God's the daddy." Right. Would you believe that? Would you believe that? I don't think so. How am I going to explain that? And then because her fiance, they're taking a census, a Roman census, her fiance has to go to his birth town. And so the day before she delivers, the last day of her pregnancy, she has to ride a donkey on a long journey. I don't know any pregnant woman who'd like to do that on the last day of pregnancy. Ride a donkey on a long journey. Then she has to deliver her first child by herself in a barn, no doctor, no mom, no sisters, no aunts, no midwife. That would create inadequacy. And then the lifelong task of raising the Son of God, all of these things would create a fear of inadequacy. The Bible tells it like this in Luke chapter 1. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. So the angel said, "Do not be afraid." Now you might circle that. That's the first of four times. "For God has decided to bless you and to use you." I'm sure she's thinking, "No thanks, God." "You will have a son. You're to name him Jesus. He will be the Son of God. His kingdom will never end." And then Mary asked a very natural question. How can this be? How can this be? A sense of inadequacy. You'd probably ask the same thing. I certainly would. It's not good news. That's intimidating news. Now, Joseph, her fiance, faces a whole different fear. And you might write this down. Joseph faced the fear of disapproval. The fear of disapproval. So think about this. Imagine your fiance tells you she's pregnant. You know you've never had sex with her. And then she claims, "God made me pregnant. And the baby is the Son of God." Right. How are you going to explain that to the community? It's a small town. Everybody knows everything in town. Gossip spreads quickly. How do you explain that to your business associates, to your friends? Imagine the ridicule, the shame, the gossip, the criticism heaped on Joseph. That guy, she's taking him for a ride. If he believes that story, he's nuts. I mean, she's just got him hook, line, and sinker. Sure, he's telling me that his fiance is pregnant. He's not the dad. The dad is God. Joseph's first reaction to Mary's story was actually disbelief. And he was going to break off the engagement. "I love you, honey, but I'm not buying this story." And he privately decided that he was going to quietly break off the engagement. He wasn't going to embarrass her. He loved her. He didn't want to make a scandal. But he was just going to end it right there because of the fear of disapproval of other people. And the Bible tells it like this, Matthew chapter 1. Now, this is how Jesus Christ was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph, her fiancé, being a good and righteous dude, that's the word in the Greek there, the dude, he's a good dude, decided to break off the engagement quietly so it would not disgrace Mary publicly. He's a good guy. But after he had considered doing this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, do not be afraid." There's the second, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because the child in her is really from God's Holy Spirit." So just like with Mary, God has to tell Joseph, "Fear not." Now let me ask you a question. Whose disapproval are you afraid of? Whose disapproval are you afraid of? Let me ask it another way. Whose approval are you living for? We'll talk about that in just a minute. The Bible says that the fear of disapproval is a trap. In other words, the moment I start worrying about what you think of me, I'm dead in the water. The moment you start worrying about what other people think of you, you're gonna miss God's plan for your life. Everybody, God has a plan for your life, and so does everybody else. You gotta decide whether you're gonna be a God pleaser or an everybody else pleaser. You're gonna be a people pleaser. Joseph could have missed the greatest blessing of his life, getting to be the stepdad of the Son of God, if he had worried about the disapproval of other people. But he said, I don't really care about what other people think. I'm gonna do this because it's the right thing to do. But it was a fear he had to deal with. Now, next, there's another group in the first story called the shepherds. And if you wanna write this down, the shepherds faced the fear of sudden change. The fear of sudden change. Now, here's the picture. The shepherds are out in the fields watching their flocks the night Jesus is born. The shepherds are kind of an easy come, easy go. They're kind of like surfers, you know? They just take everything easily. It's not a real stressful job, you know, watching sheep. That night, they've put the sheep down for the night. They're sitting around the campfire. They've had dinner, probably playing cards, and, you know, just having a good time. All of a sudden, the sky lights up brilliantly. And remember, this is the day before electricity, electric lights and lasers, and they haven't seen anything bright at night, ever. The sky lights up brilliantly, and the sky is filled with angels singing loudly in a choir. Now, they've never seen angels. For all they know, these could be ETs, extraterrestrials. Anyway, it scared them to death because their plans for a quiet evening were shaken up. There was a sudden change. And the Bible says this in Luke 2. That night, some shepherds were in the field outside the village guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, you might circle that word suddenly because this is the fear of sudden change. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory flashed. I mean, it's like boom, like an explosion. Flashed and surrounded them. This light surrounded them. And they were terribly frightened. Well, I guess so. So the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Third time. You like to be caught off guard? No. You like to have your plans changed? No. And the reason why is because when that happens, adrenaline shoots through your system and you get that fight or flight syndrome. It's not very comfortable having your plans changed suddenly. But I want to tell you this. I've walked with God now for over 50 years. I'm a friend of God. I know him better than I know you. If I talk to him all the time, more than I talk to you. And yet, even though I've known God for over 50 years, sometimes when God shows up in your life, it's scary. It's unsettling. He just all of a sudden shows up and you go, whoa, what was that all about? And that's what happened here. It was the fear of sudden change. But God doesn't want to scare you. That's why he says, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Now, there's another character in the story who had to deal with panic when Jesus' birth was announced, and his name was Herod. Herod was the king of the Jews. He was actually king of Judea, and he was actually hated by the Jews because he wasn't even actually a full Jew. And Herod was paranoid of losing his throne. He was so paranoid of conspiracy theories, history tells us, not just the Bible, but the history books tell us that Herod had his brother-in-law killed for fear of him taking over his throne, had his mother killed, had his wife assassinated, and had his two sons assassinated. That's pretty paranoid. When he hears that Jesus, quote, the king of the Jews, is being born, he freaks out. He didn't want his throne, usurped. So he orders, this is known history, orders the death of every baby in Israel under 2 years of age to try to prevent Jesus from being born. And actually, Mary and Joseph are warned in a dream. They take Jesus to Egypt. Jesus spends his early years in Egypt. Then they don't return to Nazareth until Herod dies. But he was panicked. Matthew chapter 2 tells his story about fear. Jesus was born in Bethlehem during the time that Herod was the king of the Jews. And then some wise men, these are probably scientific guys who studied the stars, from the east, more likely Babylon, so they're probably Iraqis. It was the Iraqis who came to see Jesus before the Jews did. Then some wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and started asking, where is the king, the child, born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And when King Herod heard this news, he was deeply frightened. It, as I said, it freaked him out. He's disturbed. And it says, and so was everybody else in Jerusalem. You know, we at Christmas sing the song, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm. But it wasn't calm for Jerusalem. It says the whole city got nervous. Everybody's afraid. Mary's afraid. Joseph's afraid. The shepherds are afraid. Herod's afraid. The entire town of Jerusalem. What's just happened here? Some important people from out of the country show up and say the king of the Jews has been born. What's going on? And finally, there was an old priest named Zechariah. And Zechariah had worked in the temple in Jerusalem for many, many years, and his wife was named Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth was the cousin of Mary. And so when Mary gets pregnant, unwed pregnancy, they did what they used to do with unwed pregnant teenagers. They ship them out of town so she wouldn't have to deal with the stigma and the gossip for 9 months. So Mary goes to live with her cousin Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah. Now Elizabeth and Zechariah were good people, and they were now up in age, and they had prayed their entire life for a child. They wanted a child so bad, and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, but their prayer was never answered. And they've finally given up hope because they're up in years and they go, we're not gonna have it. We're past childbearing years and we're not gonna have a baby. And they had just given up hope and they were afraid to hope because they've been disappointed so many times. Now, this is the fifth fear. And Zechariah faced the fear of being disappointed. Fear of being disappointed. Now, this is a real issue. One day, God shows up to Zechariah in the temple, sends an angel, and the angel says, hey, you know, Zechariah, you know that prayer you've been praying all these years for baby? And Zechariah goes, yeah. He goes, well, it's going to happen now. You're going to have a baby. It's going to be a miracle boy. Late in life, you're going to have, your wife's going to get pregnant. Zechariah had been disappointed so many times, he just didn't believe it. He didn't believe God. He doubted. Because I don't want to trust again. I don't want to hope again. I don't want to believe again. I've been disappointed so many times. Some of you can relate to the fear of disappointment that holds people back. Luke chapter 1, while serving in the temple, an angel appeared to Zechariah. And when he saw the angel, Zechariah was confused and overwhelmed with fear. But the angel said to him, what do you think the angel said? Yeah, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. So again, God at the Christmas story has to say, fear not. Are you getting the point that God doesn't want people to be fearful? Whenever you're fearing something, you are not in God's will at that moment. By the way, Zechariah's long-awaited son, you may have heard of him. He grew up to be called John the Baptist. John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was the forerunner, kind of the announcer of the Messiah, who said, he's coming, get ready, God's landing on earth, the greatest invasion in history, God is coming in human form, and that guy was named John the Baptist. Now question, which of these five fears are holding you back this Christmas? The fear of inadequacy is one we can all relate to. It's this thing of, am I good enough? Do I have the right stuff? Can I handle all that life throws at me? Am I up for the task? Sometimes the fear of inadequacy becomes so big, I'm not even gonna try for my dream because I know it won't happen. I'm not even gonna try, and I'm just gonna give up the fear of inadequacy, that I can't handle it. I'm not as smart. I'm not as cute. I'm not as intelligent. I'm not as educated. I'm not as wealthy as somebody else. The fear of inadequacy. How about, maybe you're struggling with the fear of disapproval and you hate to be criticized. You're thin-skinned. You'd rather go along to get along. You hate the fear of rejection. And so you have become a people pleaser. And you're not really living your life. You're not living the life God intended for you. You're living a life to please everybody else. Some of you are trying to please your parents and they died 10 years ago. But you're still trying to prove, I'm worthy, I'm okay. If you didn't get somebody's approval by now, I hate to tell you this, you're not gonna get it. But here's the good news, you don't need it. You don't need anybody else's approval to be happy. I don't need your approval to be happy. You don't need my approval to be happy. Happiness is a choice, and you choose. You're as happy as you choose to be. You know, Vince Lombardi, that great coach of the Packers, once said, "Fear makes cowards of all of us." It's true. It does. The fear of disapproval. Some of you have the fear of sudden change, and you hate change. Well, I hate to tell you this. The only thing constant in life is change. And if you get stressed out by change, you're going to be stressed your entire life because everything changes day after day, week, month, year after year. You got to learn how to not be fearful in a time of rapid or sudden change. How about the fear of losing control? Oh, that's a big one. You know, I don't want anybody messing with my plans. How do you know when you have the fear of losing control? Well, there's a warning light that goes off. God put it in you every time you have the fear of losing control. You know what it's called? That warning light is called worry. Are any of you familiar with this term, worry? Worry means at that moment, you're playing God. You're trying to control the uncontrollable. You're worried about something. Worry doesn't change anything. It can't control anything. Worry can't change the past. Worry can't control the future. All worry does is mess up today. How do you know when someone is filled with the fear of losing control? They try to control everybody else. The more insecure you are in life, the more controlling you will try to be of other people. So when you find somebody who's judgmental, they're judging you and everybody else, and they're perfectionist, and they're calling you into account, and they're trying to control you, they can't even control themselves. And the more insecure, the more fearful I am inside, the more controlling I will try to be of you. If I'm secure in my relationship to God, I don't need to control you. I don't need to control your opinions. I don't need to control your behavior. I don't need to control anything about you because I'm not worried about losing control. I've already given control of my life to God. This is a fear. How about the fear of being disappointed? Some of you have thought, I'm never going to let another man get close to me. I'm never going to let another woman break my heart. I'm never going to go after that dream. I'm not even going to try. I am afraid to trust. I'm afraid to believe. I'm afraid to believe in God. I might be disappointed. I'm afraid to give my life to God. I might be disappointed. I'm afraid to hope again. Which of these fears have you been dealing with? Now, if any of these ring true in your life, you really need the message of Christmas. And you picked a good church to come to on Christmas, because I'm going to teach you now the four solutions to living fear-free. How do I get the fear out of my life that blocks me, that keeps me from becoming all I want to be, all that God wants me to be? You do the things that God told them to do at the very first Christmas. That's what you do. And if you do what God told Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and everybody else what to do, the fears in your life will dramatically go down, and the joy and the confidence in your life is dramatically going to go up. I have talked to tens of thousands of people, counseled them personally over 35 years of ministry. I'm going to give you a little heart-to-heart counseling, Bill, and you don't even have to pay me for this, okay? So you might want to take this, write this down. If you would like to be fear-free, here's what you do. It's not my opinion. It's what God says in the Bible, okay? Let's look at it. Number one, here's the first step. Surrender my life completely to God every day. Surrender my life completely to God every day. Say, God, I'm full of fear. I'm giving you the good, the bad, and the ugly of my life to you right now. And you just start the day that way. This is how Mary overcame her inadequacy. When the angel unloaded all this stuff, you're going to be pregnant, you're not even married, and you've never had sex, and it's going to be the Son of God, and you're going to raise that child, and all the stuff that's going to happen to him. Mary overcame her fear of inadequacy with this statement, Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant, and I'm willing to accept whatever God wants for my life. I surrender my life completely to God every day. I am the Lord's servant. My Creator made me. My Creator knows what's best for me. My Creator probably knows what will make me happy more than I do, because He's my Creator. And so I'm the Lord's servant, so I'm willing to do whatever the God wants to do with my life. Have you ever said that to God?
Such a great message by Rick today and every day. I sure hope you were just as encouraged as I was. And now here's Rick with a special message.
Hi, everybody. This is Pastor Rick. I would like to thank you. Thank you for being a part of our Daily Hope family. I don't get to say that often enough, but your generosity is helping us share the hope of Jesus with people here at home and literally all around the world, even in places where it's difficult and even dangerous to get the good news. You know, I recently heard from a woman named Eunice in Cameroon. Cameroon is a country in Central Africa. And she wrote to me, she said, Pastor Rick, I lost both my son and my daughter in the war. And now I'm raising 4 grandchildren on my own. I was overwhelmed with grief. But then she says, but through the Daily Hope devotionals, I have found strength and comfort and peace in God's word. So thank you for helping me hold on to hope. Wow. That's powerful. And that happened because your giving is helping Eunice find the strength to carry on, to raise her grandchildren, and to keep trusting God even through the deep loss of her kids. Now, right now, I wanted to tell you about this because we have a special opportunity. There's some generous friends who have offered a matching grant that will double your gift. That means whatever you give today will go twice as far to reach even more people with God's word. So can I ask you a favor? I want to encourage you, give your best gift you can today. But together, let's keep bringing the hope of Jesus Christ to people like Eunice. There are still people who've never heard the name of Jesus. We want to keep expanding to get the message to the whole world. So help us out. Let me just close by saying, I love you. I do. I love you. I thank God for you. And I am so grateful that we are in this mission together. God bless you.
This matching grant is only available until midnight on December 31st. So please act now by going to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.